Good friends, we'll have a brief word of prayer and then we'll hear God's word together. Let us pray. Father, thou art a God, Lord, who leads us all the way through our Christian lives, that a God who by thy Spirit leads us into the truth, all the truth of thy word. And Father, as we consider just a part of it, just certain teaching of it this morning, we pray thou bless it to our hearts. So those who are younger here this morning, speak to them, Father, we pray, and strengthen them through it. Save them, Lord, if they're not yet saved. Those, Lord, who are older ones here, we pray, that help us to see that a God, Lord, who will never let us go, thou wilt never leave nor forsake us. Having laid hold upon us, thou wilt keep us even until the day of Jesus Christ. So do be with us now, Lord, and help us as we study the scriptures together. Help us to give ourselves to them. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, the text of our Bibles, of God's holy word, the holy scriptures that we're going to look at together this morning, amongst other texts, that is John chapter 10 and verse 28. The teaching that we have here, the teaching that comes up in many other places in the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, which I want us to consider together this morning. So not just this text, but other ones we're going to be looking at right now. But for now, let me just read this text to you. John chapter 10 and verse 28. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the Jews, to his own people, at this time in his life and ministry, he said to them, and I give unto them, referring to his sheep, as the good shepherd, he's referring to his sheep here, his people, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said to the Jews, I give to them, not referring to all of the Jews, but to the believers amongst the Jews and all those who are going to believe amongst the Gentiles, I give to them, I give to believers eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So dear friends, this morning for a little while, I want us to look together at this verse in John chapter 10, and other verses which teach the same doctrine, which I want us to think about and to consider this morning. Because what we find here in this chapter of John and in this verse, we find our blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ speaking to the Jews about perhaps what we would now call, and what theologians would now call today and have called for a long time, the perseverance of the saints, which is perhaps something you've heard about in the past, perhaps it's not, but it's something that we're going to hear about this morning. I want to speak and to preach to you on. He's really speaking to them, as they say, what we would understand today as being the perseverance of the saints. That's what it's been called by perhaps more recent theologians. But the Lord Jesus Christ put it like this. He said, I give to them, I give to my people eternal life. Eternal life, not just a life that a spiritual life that begins and then finishes, but a spiritual life that goes on everlastingly. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So I hope that you can see, I trust that you can see that in that verse and in other verses too that he spoke and other verses the apostles wrote about, that he and they were teaching this great teaching, this great doctrine of the scriptures, the perseverance of the saints, the P in the acronym TULIP, by which we tend to, if we're Calvinist people, if we believe the scriptures, that is, those things that we follow. The P is the perseverance of the saints. You might sit there this morning and think, well, I can see what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying there, some of the things he's saying, but tell me, what is this perseverance of the saints? What does it really mean? What is it to persevere? For people who are Christians to persevere, what does it mean? What's this doctrine all about? What's this teaching all about? Well, let me put it to you like this. Let me define it and describe it as follows. This is that all those who are truly born again Christian believers. That's the most important thing. Not people who are sham Christians, not people who are nominal Christians, but people who have truly been converted, truly been regenerated by God's Spirit, truly repented of their sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, have been converted and born again in this way. These people will be kept eternally secure by God's power, by His Spirit, will be kept from falling or turning away from Him altogether and losing the blessings of salvation that He has earned for them and that the Spirit of God applies to them, and they will continue, they will persevere, they will remain as Christians in the faith and in Christ throughout the whole of their lives until they die at the end of them and live forever with Him in heaven, in glory. And that only those who persevere until then have been truly born again. So there's a two sides of it, isn't there? There's that one side that those who are born again will truly persevere, and those who persevere show that they have truly been born again. It's not the only way that a Christian can get assurance, but that's one of them. Just the way in which you continue, you carry on, you persevere in the faith through everything, through all your struggles, through all your suffering, through all your tribulation, through all the temptations. You go through that, you can see, well, the only way that I can get through this is because that seed of God's word and that work of this Holy Spirit is within me. Some of it, dear friends, you see there are two sides to this great teaching of the perseverance of the saints, which I'll come on to again in a moment. But let me ask you, my dear friend, this morning, if you are a Christian, really dealing with Christian people this morning, Christian men, women, boys and girls, will you persevere to the end? You become a Christian? Perhaps you're a young Christian. Perhaps you're a Christian in your mid-spiritual life, as it were. You're wondering, am I going to be able to carry on? Am I going to be able to get through this Christian life? Am I going to reach heaven? Am I going to reach glory? Am I really going to be able to carry on and continue and remain a Christian right to the end in spite of everything that is against me, the world, the flesh, and the devil? Well, the question so much is not, will you persevere, my dear friend? The question is, are you a true saint? Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Because if you are, and if you have that firm and solid and sure and sound foundation, God's promise to you is that you will. There's no doubt about it. It is His work. You cooperate with it. You continue believing. But at the end of the day, this is His salvation. And He's begun it. And He will finish and complete it in His own appointed way and His own appointed time. But you might have some doubts about this, whether you're going to be able to carry on as a Christian. Well, I'm here this morning to strengthen your hands and to strengthen your faith and to encourage you to know that you will if you're one of God's true children, if you are a child of God. Well, how are we going to look at this morning, this teaching about perseverance? Well, first of all, I want us to see the evidence, some of the evidence, some of the proofs of Scripture, the proof texts in Scripture that show that all those who are truly born again believers will persevere to the end of their lives. And then secondly, very briefly at the end, I just want to mention that it is only those who persevere to the end of their lives have been truly born again. But they will, because that's happened to them and because God's Spirit is within them. Let's take up this first main point. This is the first main contention, this first great biblical truth that says everybody, everyone, all those who have been born again of God's Spirit and are true Christian believers, they will not only start the Christian life, they will not only continue the Christian life, but they will one day finish and complete the Christian life. They will persevere to the end. They will, like Paul would say, they will fight the good fight of faith. They will have laid hold upon eternal life. They shall finish their course. And one day they will wear the crown of glory and cast it down before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. They will certainly have eternal life in heaven with God. You say, what makes you think that? Or rather, what makes you believe that? Well, my dear friend, the Bible makes me believe that as one of God's people. This is my only rule of faith and practice. I believe what is here, the teaching that is here. And this is what God's word teaches, that it's those who are born again believers will persevere to the end. And let me give you the evidence for this, to encourage you, to strengthen your faith, to comfort you in the faith. The first piece of evidence is this. It's in John chapter 3 and verse 36. You'll also find a similar phrase in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Then in chapter 6 and verse 47, John was very keen on this teaching, on this phrase. John chapter 10 and verse 28. Then you go into his epistle, not only in his gospel, but also in his epistle, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, you'll read this phrase. And let me give it to you first of all in John chapter 3 and verse 36. The words of Christ, John reporting here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He that believes on the Son, he that believes from their hearts on the Son of God, on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they have, my dear friends? If you're a Christian this morning, what do you have? And what will never be taken away from you? Once you have it forever. You have everlasting life. What so many other people are going after these days in this world, in many different ways. You actually have. You have because you believed on God's Son. And the promise is those who believe on the Son of God, this is what they have. They have everlasting life. They have an everlasting quality of life, a greater quality of life as God's people. But they have an everlasting quantity of life. It's not a life that's going to begin and fizzle out and fade away and finish at some juncture during life or during the Christian life. It's a life that is going to go on. It's going to go on forever. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So our Lord Jesus Christ here is referring to a life that lasts, not temporarily, but forever with God. A life that you've begun. A life that will continue and will go on forever. It is God's gift that comes with his salvation. It is the contrast to condemnation and eternal judgment. We believe in an everlasting punishment, an eternal punishment because of people's sins. But if we've been saved from those sins, if we've been saved from that, this is what we have. We have everlasting life. It's the same. Everlasting punishment, everlasting life, unending time, eternal, without end, the opposite of death, the opposite of judgment and separation from God, life that's going to go on forever, life that started now and go on forever in the immediate presence of God one day when we reach heaven. So that's one of the proofs, my dear friends. Do you realize that as a Christian this morning? This is what God has given to you. Through his grace, and because you believed upon his Son, this is what he's promised, this is what he's actually fulfilled in the promise. He's given to you life, he's given to you abundant life, he's given to you eternal life, a life which is never, ever going to run out, fade away, or finish. It's going to go on and on, the opposite of eternal death and damnation, eternal life one day in glory. So if you have this principle, if you have this life within you, how, my dear friend, are you not going to be able to persevere to the end? You will. You've been born again, you've been given this, and God is going to continue to give this life to you, and it's going to carry on forever. Therefore, you will persevere to the end, and then you'll be with him forever in glory. So that's John 3:36, etc. That phrase, everlasting life. But now let me give you another piece of evidence to add to that. What about that long and well-known chapter, John chapter 6? But I'm not looking at the whole of this chapter. Verses 38 to 40, again the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says here in these verses, in these words of his. He said to the people, I came down from heaven. And he's going to tell them why he came down from heaven, why he was born into this world, why he came incarnate. I came down from heaven It wasn't to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the one who sent him was God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. And he says, this is the Father's will who has sent me, that of, notice, of all which he has given me. And those souls that God the Father gave him from eternity past, in eternity, of all of those, every single one of them, I should lose nothing. Now, my dear friends, many days in our lives we lose things, don't we? Because we do not have power to keep them sometimes, and we're very forgetful. We mislay things. We have things, they're in our possession. The next minute, they're not in our possession. One minute we have an umbrella, the next minute we don't have an umbrella, and so on. We lose things so easily. But the Lord Jesus Christ never loses anything. Once he has something in his possession, once that soul has been redeemed, once it's been saved, it'll never be lost. He not only has the power to save, he has the power to keep. I should lose nothing, not a single soul, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will, I promise, and he always keeps his promises, I will raise him up at the last day. So he says here that he does, he always does, he always delights to do the will of his Father in heaven, God the Father, which is that he should lose nothing of all which the Father has given to him. They're precious to him. The Father has given them to him in order to save them. They're precious to him. He has laid down his life for them. And so they are very, every single saint is very precious to him. Not only are their deaths precious in his sight, they are precious in his sight. So all those given to the Son by the Father will not be lost. And that everyone who believes on him will have everlasting life. And he says, I will raise up that person at last to live with him. All those who truly, at the last day, everyone who truly believes in him will remain a Christian up to the day of the final resurrection and into the blessings of life in God's presence. My dear friends, doesn't this also assure you as one of God's people? You say, well, it's very difficult to be a Christian. I find it very hard. And sometimes I'm tempted to go back. But if you're a Christian, you might be tempted. If you're a Christian, you might backslide. But you'll never lose your salvation. God will lead you on. God will give you the earnest. He said, I will never lose you. I will never leave nor forsake you. And he promises you, one day I am going to raise you up. Well, if he's going to raise you up in the future, in the day of the general resurrection, raise up your body. He's going to keep you until that time, until that day, until that hour. My dear friends, reason from the scriptures. Turn to the scriptures when you're finding it hard. And when you think, I'm not going to be able to make it, I'm not going to reach the end. Sometimes we feel like this. We are, after all, soldiers. And sometimes we feel as though we're not going to make it in the battle. We are runners. Sometimes we feel we're not going to make it to the end of the race. It's a long race sometimes. But we are. When we turn to the scriptures, when we look at God's word, and when we reason rightly from them, we're never going to be lost. We're always going to be kept. He is going to raise us up at the last day. And if he's going to raise us up then, if that's his intention, he will keep us until that day. I want to give you another piece of evidence. Just going on a little bit further in John chapter 10 and verses 27 to 29. This is the chapter. John chapter 6 is the chapter all about Christ being the bread of life, isn't it? Isn't it? John chapter 10, he's the door and he's the shepherd. And in John 10, 27, he said these words. My sheep hear my voice. Have you heard his voice? Have you heard him calling you to repentance and to faith? Are you a true Christian? And are you listening to his voice now as I'm speaking to you, hearing these words? Is he speaking to you? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give to them eternal life. And notice these words here. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They'll never be erased out of his book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names never raised from his hand. Their names, as it were, never taken away from his heart. My Father who gave them is greater than all, and nobody is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Now what he's saying here is particularly emphatic and forceful and powerful. What he's saying here is this, that they shall, he's not only that they won't perish, he's saying here they will certainly never perish. No, never. They will never perish forever. They shall never lose their salvation. They will never be separated from me. They will certainly have life with God forever in heaven. They will certainly never, ever fall away. There's always that danger of backsliding. That is possible for a Christian. But he's the shepherd who restores our souls. But you and I are never in danger of losing our salvation. So we often say, once saved, always saved. It does require cooperation, my dear friends. It does require us to continue to believe, to continue in his word. But if you're a true Christian, you will continue to believe. You will continue in his word. Grace will be given to you, the grace to cooperate with God in the work, the great work of self-sanctification, until finally God glorifies you together with him. You will never perish. It's the same word that John uses back in John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world, he so loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not everlastingly perish, but they might have everlasting life. He won't lose you. He'll raise you up. You will never perish. Well, those are some of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel. What I'd like to do now is just to turn to the epistles for a little while, and initially to the epistles of the Apostle Paul. And you have this great verse right at the very beginning of that favourite chapter of many of ours, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And Paul said these words. Notice them. He says, there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My dear friend, in the light of that, how can you ever think that God is ever going to let you go? And that God is ever going to, he may chastise you and he may discipline you for your sins as a loving father to bring you back. But how can you ever think that you can lose your salvation, as some do, and one day be punished for your sins everlastingly? You hear what Paul says here? There is therefore now, there's no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, who put their trust in him and have put their trust in his finished work upon Calvary to atone, to take away for all their sins, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My dear friends, it would be unjust for God, say it reverently, to mete out any kind of eternal condemnation or punishment to those who are his people. No condemnation remains for them. For the entire penalty of their sins has been paid, and has been paid in full by his Son upon the cross of Calvary. It's been paid, and you will never have to pay for it. God will never punish you in this way. And my dear friends, if God has done this for you in his Son, if he didn't spare his own Son upon the cross, didn't spare him, laid your sin upon him, and his wrath being poured out upon him for your sin. If God didn't spare his Son, the suffering and the agony of the cross, going through all that, and we consider some of those things last Lord's Day, how shall he not also with him freely give you all things? Give you this eternal life? Never cause you to suffer eternally for your sins, but save you from them? Keep you from falling away altogether, and keep you as one of his precious possessions throughout all eternity. It's unthinkable, my dear friends, that you're ever going to be condemned because Christ was condemned in your, that you'll ever be eternally cursed. The curse has been removed. Christ became a curse for you. He took your sin, he bore it away, and now you are God's. You are his twice over. You are his by right of creation. He has made you and he has kept you, keeps you. But you are his also by what right of redemption and salvation. And he has hold upon you. He took hold upon you first, my dear friend, before you ever took hold upon him. He took the initiative. He regenerated you. He sought you out before you began to seek him. Before you turned and believed upon his son, Jesus Christ. He has you in the hollow of his hand. And he's never going to let you go. You will never suffer condemnation because you're in Jesus Christ. He looks upon you and he sees you in his Son, washed in his precious blood and with Christ's righteousness being imputed to you. You know, Paul not only teaches that there, a little later on in that same chapter in verse 30, you've got these glorious words. Those whom God predestinated, those he also called, he predestinated them in eternity. He chose them. He elected them to eternal redemption. He called in time. He called them to repentance and to believe in his Son. And he called them effectually. They actually did repent and believe. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, those he also glorified. You see who's behind this, my dear friends? So very often we make the mistake. We take our eyes off from God and we see the way in which things are going in our Christian lives purely from our own standpoint. And sometimes we've got to stand back, my dear friends, and see this is God's salvation. He planned it from eternity. He chose me. He predestined me to eternal life. He called me in time. He justified me. We're going to look at that tonight. He sanctifies me by his Spirit. And he's going to glorify me together with his Son. He's behind this. As Jonah once said, salvation is of the Lord. God is sovereign. He's sovereign in everything. He's sovereign in our salvation. So Paul here says, he's really saying here, there's a clear connection or link between God's eternal purposes in predestination and his working out of those purposes in life, together with the final realization of those purposes in glorifying those whom he's brought into union with his Son, Jesus Christ. The future event of glorification is such a certainty in God's settled purpose that Paul writes about it, you notice, as though it's already happened. Because as far as God is concerned, it's as good as already happened. Because he chose you and gave you to his Son, and Christ was going to die for you. Because he predestinated you, he called you. This wonderful divine logic here, going one thing on to another. He called you, he justified you, he'll sanctify you, he will glorify you. One thing will follow the other. God is in control. And having done one thing, he will do all the rest. Isn't that lovely, my dear friends? You're caught up in this. You weren't there. You weren't aware when he chose you in eternity before the world began. But you know that because he has called you. And having been called, you now look back and you see, yes, he's chosen me. I'm his. And I'm his forever. Nobody's ever going to erase my name out of the Lamb's book of life. I'm caught up in this salvation. And he is never going to let me go. Now quickly we move on to Ephesians, just a couple more before we finish. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. Paul there writes and teaches the Ephesians. He says about Christ, you trusted in Christ after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Something different here. In whom after that you believed, you Ephesians, and this is true of all believers, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of God's glory. This teaching here of the sealing of the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit, what is it all about? Well, my dear friends, it's a further proof, it's a further evidence that God keeps those who are truly born again, safe for eternity. The evidence is this seal that he places upon us. This seal is his Spirit within us, indwelling within us, who also acts as his earnest or guarantee that we will receive the inheritance promised to us. This term, earnest, is a legal term, it's a commercial term. It means a deposit, a down payment, a first installment or pledge. And I say God always keeps his pledges and promises, and represents a payment which obligates the contracting party to make further payments. When God gave us the Spirit within, he was committing himself to give all further blessings of eternal life and a great reward in heaven with him. All those who have the Spirit within them, all who are truly born again, have his unchanging guarantee that the inheritance of eternal life in heaven will certainly be theirs. His own faithfulness is pledged to bring it about. My dear friend, if you're a Christian, you have this seal. God has placed his Spirit within you. You are the very temples of the Holy Spirit, as Paul teaches in Corinthians. Now, if you see that and discern that, God has promised, he's not only going to give you the first fruits, he's not only going to give you that beginning of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. One day he's going to continue to bless you with him. He's going to continue to indwell within you. But one day he's going to give you the full harvest, my dear friends. And he's promised it. And he's not like you and me. We promise and we don't fulfill. We break our promises. God never breaks a promise. He never didn't fulfill a prophecy in the Old Testament. He's fulfilled them all. Prophet in the New Testament, he either has or will fulfill them all. And he'll never fail in any of his promises. He has pledged this. He's granted you that first down payment, that first deposit of the Spirit. Having done that, the Spirit will remain in you until he rises up within you into everlasting life. God's promised that. He will never remove his Holy Spirit from you. I know that there are prayers like in the Old Testament where David prayed, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." But he wasn't referring to the Spirit of God within him. But that blessing of the Spirit that was upon him, which could be removed, which was taken from Saul and was placed upon him. A part taken from Moses, given to some of the elders. But that was the blessing of the Spirit upon them. The Spirit of God within you will never, ever be removed. Once there, once dwelling, he will remain and abide in you forever. And that is why you will endure to the end, as sure as the earnest is given, as the hymnist says. Just two final verses, one in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, and then finally in Peter. Paul was confident of this one thing, this very thing, that he, God, who has begun a good work in you, and salvation is a good work, redemption is a great and all glorious work, is a work of grace. In you specific Philippian believers, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will continue it, and it has been completed at the day, either when he calls you home to glory, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. You and I are very good, not only promising things and not coming up with us, fulfilling those promises. Also, we're very good at starting things. You like that? It's a bad habit. You start something, carry on for a little while, get bored, finish with it. One little phase, one little hobby will start for a little while, interesting at the beginning. In the end, we give up. That's a very bad habit. Practical application, my dear friends. Those things that you put your hand to, see through. If it's wrong, stop. But if it's the right thing, if God called you to do it, see it through to the end. Because in that way, you're being like God. God never leaves things half finished. He always sees things through because he's already seen the end from the beginning. And those whom he, like we saw earlier on, those who he calls to faith in Christ, it is not that he'll just begin that work of sanctification, delivering you from sin's power and pollution. He'll see that work through. What God does, he does forever. Like was said about the Lord Jesus Christ, he does all things well. He doesn't leave things half finished. Like the t-shirt says on some Christians sometimes, God hasn't finished with me yet. That's not very good sentiments to kind of have on a t-shirt, but it's true. God hasn't finished with us yet if we're here on earth. And he won't finish until he's completed his work of salvation in you, until he's brought you to full redemption, full salvation. Then finally, 1 Peter 1:5, we read that we are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Peter there writing to Gentile believers, being kept, it means being continually kept, continually guarded, continually preserved by God's power. You and I got to realize this. This is God's power that is exerting, an omnipotent and almighty power that is exerting within us. And that is why we shall never escape out of his kingdom. That's why we'll always be protected from external attacks. That's why we'll always overcome temptations finally, overcome every difficulty, every obstacle, even the final enemy, death itself, will be overcome. Because it is God's power within us. We're being kept by that, guarded by that continually, and we will do right until the end. So, my dear friends, look at Scripture here. Are you somebody who's been truly born again? Not just having an outward appearance of being a Christian, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof, but you know the power of it. God, Christ's blood has been applied to you. God's Spirit is within you. You've been regenerated. You've been born again. You're a true Christian believer. Well, if you are, you will certainly endure to the end. And those who do persevere to the end of their Christian lives will show that they have been truly saved. Like I said to you earlier on, we don't have to wait to the end to have that assurance. There's lots of other ways we can have assurance of salvation, but that's one of them. Are you carrying on? Are you continuing? Are you persevering? Are you towards the end of your Christian life, perhaps? Are you an older Christian here? You can say, yes, my Christian life was not built on sand, but on the solid rock of believing in Jesus Christ, because I've gone through all of this. As you cast your eye back through your Christian life, and all the difficulties, all the twists and the turns, he kept me. He went before me. He guided me. He protected me, provided for me. He did everything. All the way he led me until now. And I can see that I truly was saved in the beginning. It's a comforting doctrine, my dear friends. The perseverance of the saints in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the teachings of the apostles. It's in the whole New Testament, in the Old Testament as well. It's there for you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not for you to doubt your salvation if you're truly saved, but to be sure of it. And therefore to witness a good profession, a strong testimony to the world. You know, Christians are always doubting all the time. Aren't very good for the world, are they? We need Christians today who are strong in faith, giving glory to God and giving a good testimony to the unbelieving world, that they might come to believe in Christ like we ourselves.